Think of golf hazards and three things usually come to mind. Water hazards, such as lakes and rivers, man-made hazards, such as bunkers and sand traps, and vegetation. 2 weeks ago, the El Fuego Baca shootout took place in Socorro, New Mexico, and as Only a Game's Ron Schachter reports, this long-running championship gives new meaning to the term golf hazard.
With its tree-lined campus alongside a PGA-approved golf course and a sprawling driving range, New Mexico Tech University extends like a green oasis into the inhospitable high desert. But soon, golf balls will be ricocheting across the rugged mountain standing in the distance as the El Fuego Baca Shoot, a one-hole, six-hour, three-mile-long golfing ordeal, tees off for the 51st straight year. The eight entrants from New Mexico, Arizona, and California will have to juggle golfing, mountaineering, and survival skills as they work their way down almost 3,000 feet of cactus-strewn Socorro Peak. Then they'll trek for miles more through the rocks and mesquite bushes at the mountain's base until they land their final shots in a 30-foot-wide circle on the edge of campus.
Okay. So your pencils, your scorecard, and your balls are all marked.
Early on this hot Saturday morning, they pick up their allotment of 10 balls, stamped with personal identification numbers. They step outside to hear final instructions and caveats. It's a little different than what the competitors would hear at Pebble Beach or St. Andrews.
You've heard stories about what can be up there? This is going to be perfect season for rattlesnakes. We want you to leave them alone. You know, we even had a story like, you know, where we had a mountain lion up there. Has anybody ever seen a mountain lion before?
Russell Moore, the golf director for the New Mexico Tech course, adds that the local flora and fauna, which also includes swarms of biting gnats, aren't the only challenges awaiting these extreme golfers.
We have a saying for those of us that have been associated with the tournament is that, you know, we don't have any water hazards, but we have enough hazards to make up for that. It's very easy to step on what you think is solid footing, and a rock will slip, and all of a sudden you're taking a tumble.
There are no golf carts in the El Fuego Baca Shoot, just a 15-minute off-road ride up 7,200-foot-high Socorro Peak. Instead of golf shoes, participants wear climbing boots. After a 15-minute hike to the top of the mountain, they tee off from a small wooden platform protruding into space.
And with an 8:35 tee time, the defending champion from Socorro, New Mexico, Dennis Walsh.
Yay! Thanks.
A well-struck ball can travel 800 yards before reaching the plateau almost 1,000 feet below. That's the easy part, says Dennis Walsh, a golfer with a handicap of one back on Earth.
Well, it's not like strolling down a hill. You're coming at an angle 42 degrees.
Sure.
Yeah, down slippery shale. And it doesn't get a whole lot easier the rest of the way down until you get to the flats. Then you've got another, oh, I don't know, it's six or seven shots after it's, you know, 95, 96 degrees out, and your legs are tired from coming off this harsh angle for two and a half hours. And it's a different kind of walk than I've ever done in my life.
With golfers strung along the mountain, there's no waiting for others to take turns. You can move the ball as far as 50 feet to a better lie, so long as it gets no closer to the hole. And you can tee up every shot, another concession to the unpredictable terrain. The preferred method uses a sawed-off broom head laid as flat as possible on the ground with the tee wedged between its bristles.
Okay, here you go. See, he's going to whack it this thing. Coming at us. A little shy of the 450.
Each golfer also brings along three spotters, usually recruited friends or relatives who communicate with two-way radios as they scramble to locate each shot amidst the mountain rubble and desert scrub. Since every lost ball results in a penalty stroke, and losing all 10 earns a disqualification, fielding a crack team of spotters can spell the difference between victory and defeat.
Whereabouts, Primo?
Right in that first little canyon right there.
Mike Stanley, who claimed the last of his record 17 El Fuego Baca crowns in 2002, says he won several without losing a ball.
You've got to be able to position your spotters to where you want to hit the ball.
And then the best of all worlds is to hit one of your spotters so you can find the ball real easy.
Right there is going to be the spot. I move that rock.
New Mexico native Jesse Thomas spent a decade as a spotter before picking up the clubs himself. Nearly halfway through the course, he clobbers a 450-yard drive, thanks to the still sloping landscape. As he plants a tee in his broomhead for the next shot, he sizes up his chances.
It's been rough. I lost two balls, and I think I'm not going to be in the money today.
Thomas is headed for a score in the low 20s, about par for this course. Most El Fuego Baca golfers carry just a driver and a short iron that they'll save for their final shot. When inverted, the clubs become serviceable walking sticks. But to El Fuego Baca legend Mike Stanley, the most essential piece of equipment is an item not normally found in golf bags.
You know, you talk about experiences and memories, and most of them deal with cactus. You know, people slipping in a cactus and falling in them, and you better take tweezers with you and be ready to pull some cactus spines out of you. I think if I'm ever in an autopsy, they'll find lots of cactus in my legs from the El Fuego. Yep.
As the bands of spotters fan out across the remaining mile and a half of flatter terrain, they look like farm workers engaged in some insane harvest. This year, that harvest is good to reigning champ Dennis Walsh. Barely 5 hours after teeing off, he completes his round with a neat 30-yard wedge shot into the red circle. He cards a 15, 7 strokes ahead of the closest challenger for his third championship, and sums up what it takes to succeed here.
You have to really love the game, and you have to love the mountain. You know, the mountain is its own beast.
Some reverence for history may be in order as well. The original El Fuego Baca shootout dates to 1884, when a new sheriff by that name took on a band of cowboys terrorizing Socorro. His descendant, Gilbert Eugene Baca, says the real trouble began after El Fuego arrested a drunken cowboy.
He took cover in a nearby jacal, or mud hut, and by that time there was over 80 cowboys came over there and were trying to get him out of that hut. Of course, they were trying to kill him, you know, but he held them off for 36 hours, and they counted over 4,000 bullets that were fired into there. But that's the main story of his fame, you know.
To hear the golfers tell it, the fame of the El Fuego Baca shoot lives up to its Wild West heritage. And who knows, maybe over the past half century, more than 4,000 golf balls have gone missing in the hostile New Mexican desert. For Only a Game, I'm Ron Schachter.
El Fuego was calm and his aim, it was true. He'd ride with the law till the battle was through. With a star on his chest, he was law in the West. They called him El Fuego, El Gato.
Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabu. Our technical director is John Perotti. Our intern is Allison Gluck. And our senior producer is Gary Wallach. To view pictures of the El Fuego Baca shootout, the ones of the golf tournament, not the fabled 1884 confrontation, or learn more about this week's music selections, please visit our website, onlyagame.org. Our final word comes from an interloper during the 2011 El Fuego Baca shootout.
We are the champions!
Whoa! How'd that fearsome creature escape confinement in Dallas? I'm Bill Littlefield. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
In the land of big men, when this great west was wild, El Fuego was small and his nature was mild. And the legend was that, like El Gato the cat, 9 lives had El Fuego, El Gato. He dared to stand up to the toughest of men. He faced all their 6 guns again.
Support comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. The William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. And the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives, at gatesfoundation.org. This is NPR.